It's time for overtime.
I think I'm ready for this.
Heck yeah.
In the world of sport, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
It's in the left center field. That's hit well. That'll split the gap.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into a beautiful Wednesday edition of the show. I'm Burt Rameen here with Overtime. You're in the right place at the right time. 4th of July Eve. Happy birthday to my grandma Rameen. It's a great day here in the 605. I can't wait to get it rolling with you. We're talking Huskers. We're talking NBA. LeBron James is back with the Lakers. Bronny is introduced along with fellow rookie Dalton Connect. The Orlando Magic are the team making moves within the last 24 hours. Latest from the NFL in hour number one, including a pretty fun segment that I'm pretty darn proud of. NFL teams in 2024 as fireworks. What the heck do I mean by that? I'm describing teams across the gamut of the National Football League as fireworks, from the smoke bombs to the snakes, to the whirling dervishes, to the big willow fireworks you see up in the sky, and maybe, just maybe, some imaginative stuff out there, including maybe a drone firework. What team is plain and simply fake heading into 2024, but certainly won't cause a fire? I'll hand out all the superlatives later on in hour number one. NFL teams as fireworks coming up in 2024. Why are we doing that? Because I want to get you an opportunity to score my final two gift certificates, $25 to Pyroholic Fireworks Warehouse, I-29 T Fireworks Exit. Are you behind the game on your fireworks shopping? If you could use these today, our offices are closed tomorrow. You got to be able to pick them up today, but I have not one, but two remaining gift certificates, $25 a piece, to the lucky callers at the end of hour number one. Again, NFL teams as fireworks. Stay tuned for that coming up at 11:45. We'll also be talking with Sean Callahan of Husker Online very shortly. In about 10 minutes on the show, we'll be talking all things Nebraska football. Are they up to the hype this year? A lot of people starting to talk about this team, the recent transfer portal additions, the recent recruiting steam they've got, and the team they're projected to put on the field this fall should be bowl worthy, bowl eligible, and maybe win a bowl game for the first time in a very long time down there in Lincoln. There's a lot of steam, a lot of buzz. We dissect all the storylines with Sean Callahan of Husker Online here in about 10 minutes on the show. Hour number two, it's a Wednesday, so rest assured, we will test your wits with today's identity crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House. Today's identity crisis, a current NBA basketball player, and this guy happens to be looking for a new team. Yes, a free agent, certainly a notable player of the last 10 years in the NBA, and a very notable college basketball player. The identity crisis looms at 12:20. Big prize pack today, including Spring Creek Country Club greens fee certificates. I got some Catfish Bay certificates, and of course a gift card to the Original Pancake House. 12:30-ish, we'll be talking college football. Tough news out of Utah State yesterday. A ascension plan out of Utah recently announced, and then we'll also dive in to the big preseason Big 12 poll that was released yesterday and dive into some NFL chatter as well before leaving you with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's dive in to the scorecard yesterday. Cubbies were on the wrong side of things at home to Philadelphia. Final score there, Philly 6 and the Cubs 4. New record for Chicago, 39-47. The entire city of Chicago had a tough day yesterday. A baffling finish in a matchup between the Guardians and the White Sox. This one, an unexciting finish, but one that went the way of the Guardians on their home diamond.
A swing and a high fly, medium deep center. This will be interesting. Robert makes the catch. Tagging Jimenez. The throw to the plate. No! Fly game.
There's got to be a lot of frustration on the south side of Chicago with the White Sox, but if you watch the video of that, Robert really not much of a catch and throw opportunity. Didn't really look like he was out there trying to make a play, and it just adds icing on a cake and a very tough season thus far for the White Sox and their fans. Cleveland with the win, now 53-30. Final score there, 7-6 from Cleveland. WTAM with the audio. Elsewhere, St. Louis got out to a big lead and held on late to get a win on the road.
1-2 the count to Gorman, and the pitch is hit high and deep to left center. Long way to run for the center fielder. He's back to the track. He looks up, and it's gone! A slammer for Nolan Gorman into the bleachers in deep left center field. His 17th home run of the year, and just like that, the Cardinals lead 6-0.
Cardinals would hang on to a 7-4 road win in Pittsburgh. New record for St. Louis, starting to reach back into that relevant territory. 44-40, the record for the NL Central second-place team. Detroit and Minnesota go at it from Target Field yesterday. The Twins keep on winning.
And the first pitch hit high in the air to deep left field. There's your insurance, Carlos Correa. Take a lap.
Twins used a home run to tie the ball game at 3. Carlos Correa, the finishing touches there. 5-3 the final. Jorge Alcala with the win. He's 2-3. Johan Duran with the save. His 13th of the season. Treasure Island Baseball Network with the audio there. Other finals, Tampa Bay takes care of Kansas City on the road 5-1. And Milwaukee over the Rockies in Denver 4-3. Brew Crew now 51-35. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, White Sox at Guardians gets us going at 5:40. Same time for the Pirates home to the Cardinals once again. Phillies at Cubs 7:05. Tigers at Twins do it again from Target Field. 6:30 pregame, 7:10 the start time on ESPN Sioux Falls. And you can watch it this evening on ESPN Plus. Other matchups concerning area teams and AL Central squads. Rays at Royals 7:10. Brewers at the Rockies, a 7:40 start time tonight from Denver. Twins on the 4th tomorrow for the holiday. They face off against Detroit at home. 12:30 pregame coverage, 1:10 the official start time. Listen and follow along right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. The big news out of the NBA comes in the form of LeBron James doing the expected after the Lakers drafted his son Bronny James in the second round of the NBA draft just last week. LeBron James is re-upping with the Lakers, and Woj says this team won't look that different next year.
I don't expect the Lakers to look a whole lot different on opening night than they do now. That there's some moves around the edges. I don't sense there's a big impact move out there for the Lakers or very many teams right now.
Certainly not anymore after Klay Thompson makes his move. Paul George made his move earlier in the week, but certainly won't look too different. Bronny James, some commentary from his press conference as he is introduced as a new member of the squad.
Yeah, everything's just been surreal. Just trying to take it all in by the days. Extremely, you know, grateful for everything that JJ and Rob have given to me. Yeah, and I've just been extremely excited to get to work.
That's Bronny James. All of a sudden, very polarizing figure. We thought we'd end up in this territory if he was drafted by the Lakers. Chris Canty arguing one side of this, that Bronny James, although many people, Pelinka and, of course, head coach J.J. Redick have said he's earned his spot. Chris Canty said, how the heck can you say that?
He earned it based on what? How did he earn it? He had 4 points, or he was averaging 4 points coming off the bench at USC. How did he earn this opportunity? If not for being LeBron James' son, how did he earn this opportunity? What is the evidence? Please point it out. Anybody, show me where he earned this. In college basketball, there are 18,000 players in any given year. Only 60 draft picks. There have only been 5,000 players to have ever played in the NBA. How did Bronny James, based on his body of work, what he did in high school and what he did in 1 year at USC, earn the opportunity to be drafted into the NBA? How?
Chris Canty certainly is not wrong there on Sportsmanlike This Morning. I think it lies somewhere in the middle, because I don't think that Bronny James was a shoe-in to be drafted. Some people put money down that he would be the number one overall draft pick. That's also called wasted money, irresponsible gambling, and frankly, just a laughable prediction. Bronny James has talent. He has potential. That is undoubtable. He was a very highly ranked recruit. Was he a highly ranked recruit on his own merit? Sure, absolutely. But was he higher ranked because of who he is? Absolutely as well. It's not your fault that you're born and your dad is an all-time NBA great. That is not his fault at all, but it certainly enhances his appeal. And can you blame the Lakers and the organization for a second-round draft pick, which widely at times are irrelevant in the NBA. Can you blame the team for drafting a player that guarantees LeBron James to come back to your team? Now, that's a little bit different than saying, did Bronny James deserve to be a second-round pick? We don't know that. We don't know where other teams were valuing him. We heard the Rich Paul rumors that he said, don't draft Bronny James, otherwise we're going to go play in Australia. We're going to go play somewhere else. That's fine. I don't know if there's any other teams out there, and frankly, no one really does. No concrete evidence that the Pistons were going to take him in the second round, that the Pacers were going to take him in the second round, or anyone would have other than the Lakers. They certainly called their shot. They got their landing spot. The Lakers were willing to bite because they would get LeBron James back in tandem with drafting his son. It's a potential move here, but I certainly understand the dialogue on both sides. Very polarizing start to an NBA career for one Bronny James. Over to the WNBA now. Minnesota Lynx took it on the chin last night, losing to the Liberty on the road by 9 points, 76-67. Other finals, Chicago over Atlanta on the road, 85-77. And Las Vegas Aces certainly finding their footing lately. They're now 11-6 following a tough start to the season. They win it against Indiana at home last night, 88-69. Kelsey Plum, 34 points and 6 boards. But Carolyn Peck said there's another player on Las Vegas that's driving the winning streak.
I think this is a woman on a mission, and I have watched her prepare. I've done several of her games, and the thing that Asia does is she gets herself mentally prepared coming in the game, and it's not just about her. Her attitude, her effort, her energy is contagious throughout the rest of the team, and it all starts with Asia. How the Aces do this season will have everything to do with the leadership of Asia Wilson.
Again, Kelsey Plum, the leader last night, 34 points in an 88-69 demolition of visiting Indiana. With the loss, the Fever and Caitlin Clark are 8-13. Las Vegas continues their really great stretch of the season with a record of 11-6. Tonight in the WNBA, just one game going on. Phoenix at Dallas. That is a 7 o'clock jump time. You can watch it on NBA TV. One of the teams that is relatively in our neck of the woods in the National Football League that we're frankly not talking about too much, and for good reason, is the Detroit Lions. I think they're a known commodity now. I will tell you, anytime I'm flat out wrong on the show, and last year this time I said, I'm not buying Detroit. Give me 8-9 wins at best, maybe a playoff team. I was wrong. They were pretty darn good all year long, got robbed of a couple primetime games as well, made it to the postseason, had an inexcusable gaffe of a second half and a loss to the Niners on the road. But certainly the Detroit Lions are going to be a good team this year. One of the best players on the entire roster is youngster pass rusher Aiden Hutchinson, talking expectations in the Motor City.
Is this the year? What do you tell them? What are you telling people right now?
I feel like it's the year. I mean, with every fiber of my body, I feel like it's the year. And, you know, I mean, I honestly believe from this year and on, every year is the year, you know, with the guys that we have. And, you know, I hope that we're going to sustain this success for a long time.
And again, you got to love the confidence of Aiden Hutchinson. The Detroit Lions looking to chase that elusive Super Bowl ring. One of many teams out there that have never won a Super Bowl, never appeared in a Super Bowl. Detroit looking to change that in due time. That's pass rusher Aiden Hutchinson. Coming up this weekend, the race for NASCAR is at Chicago this weekend. Road course race, 3:30 on NBC. PGA Tour golf gets going tomorrow from TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. And Wimbledon moves on today. Yesterday over Sofia Kenin and Rybakina, the 4 seed over Ruse yesterday, both of those in straight sets. Today, Coco Gauff moving on in straight sets once again, and she says she's feeling pretty darn good overall there with straight set victory. Danielle Collins of USA also won in straight sets. Marta Vondrousova, last year's women's winner at Wimbledon, bowed out in the first round. First time that has happened in quite some time. Here's Vondrousova following the disappointing round yesterday.
It was an amazing feeling to go back on the center court. You know, the match was really tough. So, yeah, now it's like it's mixed feelings. I love to be here. You know, I would love to stay longer also. But, yeah, you know, I won last year. So, yeah, it was amazing. And, yeah, today was really tough.
Very tough indeed. As for the men's side here, Djokovic wins in straight sets over Kapriva, 6-1, 6-2, 6-2. When asked about his injury and the possibility of missing the tournament, Djokovic says, I just really like playing here.
I think if it was for any other tournament, I probably wouldn't risk it, wouldn't rush it as much. I just love Wimbledon.
Djokovic, the number two seed, again, straight set victory, 6-1, 6-2, 6-2. Other finals, Zverev, straight sets over Kabalis, Abena, and then Americans, Taylor Fritz, Ben Shelton, Francis Tiafoe, and Brandon Nakashima all advancing within the last 24 hours at Wimbledon, setting up to be a pretty fun fight to the finish there over the next couple weeks there in London. Now on to your Reliabank headlines of the day. South Dakota junior Marlene Mula captured the women's pole vault at the Estonian Championships over the weekend. Mula was victorious with a clearance of 14 feet 3 1/4 inches, more than 6 inches better than the runner-up in the competition. Mula is a five-time Estonian national champion. Congratulations there once again to South Dakota junior Marlene Mula. We talked a little bit about USD Coyote football packages for tickets to select games yesterday on the show, and Coyote volleyball, and the ticket officer excited to bring back the Attack Plan ticket package for the upcoming season. The Attack Plan is a flexible option that allows fans to pick 5 games to attend this year for just $45. That's 10% less than the single game price. You can secure your Attack Plan and view details at goyotes.com to support USD Coyote volleyball. Big news out of the NBA, not breaking news, nothing earth-shattering or unexpected, but LeBron James is back with the LA Lakers, back with the team on a 2-year, $104 million contract that does include a player option for next year and a no-trade clause. Sources told ESPN this morning the deal brings James back for his 22nd NBA season and essentially becomes a 1+1 deal that allows him to reassess his Lakers and his NBA future next summer. To that point, Devin Cohen this morning talking about the contract and saying he thinks this is LeBron's last year out in LA.
I think this is LeBron James's last year with the Los Angeles Lakers. Playing with your son, accomplishing that goal, is literally a singular minute. That's it. If you play 1 minute with your son on an NBA floor, you have done more than anyone has ever done in terms of a father-son combination at the same time. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. didn't play 162 games together. They played multiple games together. I think this is going to be his last year with the Lakers.
Very well could be if LeBron James is serious about winning titles. I don't think the Lakers are at the top of the list, and I don't think I'm being a hater there and saying that the Western Conference is absolutely loaded at the top, and the Lakers ain't at the top, and they aren't even close to the top right now. They've got some star power there, all things considered. Everyone's healthy. Let's say Bronny James turns out to be a pretty good rookie, and everybody comes out on the fringes, and they have their best possible season. Is that going to be a number one seed? I don't think so. Is it a number two? Probably not. At best, I would put the Lakers at a 3-4-5. And again, that's not slighting them. That's just the respect I have for the Western Conference right now. And the teams that carried the torch this year haven't really gotten worse, with Denver and OKC and Minnesota, everybody up there in front of the Lakers right now. I like the Lakers as a playoff team. Do I think they're a contender? No, I don't. I don't think they're a legitimate contender. I would put them in 5th, 6th, 7th best contending team right now. And again, that's all very contingent upon how healthy their very old stars can be throughout the crucial moments of next season. Speaking of health, bad news once again for the Minnesota Twins. Despite the win yesterday, Twins third baseman Royce Lewis was removed from last night's game against Detroit with tightness in his left groin, and the oft-injured budding star groused afterwards about his prognosis. Lewis was replaced in the field for the top of the 6th inning, had a 2-run, 2-out double in the 3rd off Tigers ace that night, and when he jogged into 2nd base and felt like he couldn't even run at half speed. He had to come out. He just wasn't moving the way he needs to move in a game, and it was just the smart thing to do to get him off the field, according to manager Rocco Baldelli. The Twins announced that Lewis's now status is day-to-day, but after their win, he said he was still experiencing tightness and expected to get an MRI for further assessment of the injury. Lewis kind of laughing it off at his locker yesterday. Probably not very optimistic, to be honest with you. I'm praying, but it's usually always horrible news. So we'll see. And there's reason he says that. He missed a good portion of the season with an opening day ailment, and now right back dealing with some tightness in his groin. Royce Lewis, again, hoping for the best there, but certainly he's not feeling optimistic, awaiting imaging from an MRI today and later this week. Big news in Sioux Falls as far as area events go. The 3 former major champions have officially committed to competing in the upcoming Sanford International. We'll dive into more on that later in the show. We got to get up out of the way and take a break. Sean Callahan of Husker Online joins us next on Overtime.
want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right along on this Wednesday edition of Overtime, trucking into a long holiday weekend. Thanks as always for tuning us in, being a part of the show, and joining us now on the ESPN hotline. Frankly, somebody that needs to calm me down and talk some sense into me, because I'm pretty darn high on Nebraska football. We talked about it yesterday. We've been talking about it constantly. The transfer portal additions, the recruiting additions, Dylan Raiola at quarterback, Matt Rhule there at head coach. Excitement abounds down in Lincoln, and here to break down all of that excitement and some future excitement potentially on the way, Sean Callahan of Husker Online joins us now on the ESPN hotline. Sean, how the heck you doing these days? I know you're staying busy, right?
Yeah, it's really busy. Obviously the holiday, but just with lots of recruiting news. Love Sioux Falls, one of my favorite places to visit and get up there and go fishing and take advantage of a lot of Husker players that come out of Sioux Falls. So it's great to be on up there with you guys right now.
Oh, absolutely, and I know that we're always into the Nebraska football scene, a lot of Husker fans here and in the surrounding area, so can you calm me down, or are you as equally excited, but of course, a little bit tentative about the upcoming season as well?
Yeah, I think when you just look at the things in place they have right now, they've got a great schedule, and I think when you play in a league like the Big Ten now with 18 teams at the 9-game league schedule, your draw and kind of how your schedule sets up is a big part of how your season's going to go. This is the first time since 2019 that Nebraska will not open the year on the road, and they'll not open it with a Power 5 or Power 4 now opponent. So they've got a really manageable start. And in a place like Lincoln, Nebraska, it's so important to get off to a good start. I mean, there's 40 or 50 media members at every single session of this team. There's a huge microscope on this team every single day. And if you get in the hole 0-1 or 0-2, like we've seen in recent years, you just feel like you never can get out of debt at that point. And Nebraska has kind of found themselves in that hole with the way their schedules have set up and the coaching changes. But this year, they've got a great schedule. Obviously, Dylan Raiola, the addition of him to this roster at quarterback, and he's not named the starter yet, but I think most would be shocked if he's not the guy. He's every bit as good as any freshman player or quarterback in the country, and backed it up all spring. So there's a lot of exciting things on this roster as they get ready for 2024.
Talking with Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Again, that aforementioned schedule includes 4 straight home games to open it up. 5 of the first 6 games at home. Only road game there will be at Purdue, and they have to wait till Saturday, September 28th, nearly an entire month into the season before the Huskers play a road contest. Sean, when it comes to strengths and weaknesses, of course, we talk about the coach, we talk about the quarterback and the potential there. Where is this team weak, or where are the question marks on this roster and depth chart right now?
Well, I think maybe the biggest one, obviously, is quarterback with a freshman potentially being the starter. Is he ready for that? And then can the offensive line protect him at a level that's needed? They have one of the most veteran offensive lines in the country as far as starting players. They added a great transfer in Micah Mazzucca from Florida, who's been a 3-year starter at Baylor and Florida over his career. The running back position, too, they haven't had a 1,000-yard running back here since 2018. That was Divino Zigbo. Do they have that on this team right now? Emmett Johnson, Gabe Irvin, Ramir Johnson. They've got a number of players that have started, but they just have never had that true bell cow back. And when you take out the QB run game at the level we've seen it for a while here at Nebraska, that running back position is going to be really, really important for Nebraska. On defense, they return, basically everybody of note other than a couple guys that graduated. But the biggest question is probably they have to get a cornerback position figured out. And the guy they brought in from the portal, Bly Hill, got hurt in the spring game. They just got Sierra Wright, a former national top 100 recruit that started at USC, actually played a role in the movie Space Jam 2 as LeBron James's son. And Sierra Wright will battle in with some other players for that other corner spot, because their other corner is Tommy Hill, who's an all Big Ten level type player.
So certainly a lot to look forward to. Not two tremendously big holes on the roster. I got to ask you, though, before we let you go, we got to keep it short today. I know you got a show to get to as well. You can catch that as well. Part of that On3 Network, Husker Online. Sean Callahan is our guest. The schedule. We talk about the home games. I saw something that I don't think is that crazy outlandish, that Nebraska could be 7-0 heading into the Ohio State game, road game, Saturday, October 26th. That seems outlandish to say, but here's the matchups. UTEP, Colorado, Northern Iowa, and Illinois at home, at Purdue, home to Rutgers, at Indiana are the first seven games. Which of those is most likely a loss in your eyes and why, Sean?
You know, it's a great question because I don't know if there's one that just jumps out off the board, but at Purdue, that will be tough. I mean, they're going to be better than people think. Their offense is experienced. You know, Rutgers will be a physical team that comes into Lincoln that beat Miami in their bowl game. They have the leading rusher returning in the Big Ten Conference. I mean, those immediately jump out as games. And Indiana's kind of a sleeper game because they have a new coach, but they've brought in a lot of transfers, and they do return a lot of key parts. So their offense will be good, but you're right. There's not one that just says that this is, I mean, there's a decent chance Nebraska could be a favorite in all seven of those first, depending on how they look in the first couple of weeks of the season. If they come out and play really well against UTEP and Colorado, you know, the odds maker is going to really favor Nebraska in a lot of these matchups, it looks like.
It's going to be an exciting season for sure. Sean, I hate to keep it so short today, but we'll do it again soon. A lot to talk about in the lead up to that August 31st opener at home against UTEP. Thanks so much for the time again today. We'll do it again here soon on the show, and have a great 4th of July, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. Let's do it again. Appreciate it.
All right. Can't wait already. Sean Callahan of Husker Online, part of the On3 Network, on3.com. Great coverage, wall-to-wall, sport-to-sport of Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. And by the way, you look at that schedule, and everyone out there that's not a Husker fan is saying, give me a break. Can you believe Bert saying the Huskers are going to be 7-0 before they play Ohio State in mid-October, late October? I'm not saying that. I saw it. But I could totally see this team, non-tongue-in-cheek, being 5-2, 6-1, ranked and well thought of into late October because it's UTEP. That should be an absolute checkmark win. And I know that this is the program that has lost to Troy in the last decade plus. They've lost to other teams they had no business of losing to as well. Anytime you get your hopes up, they've let you down lately. But things feel a little bit different down in Lincoln. So you check off the box with UTEP. Colorado, that is a boom or bust team if I've ever seen one. Last year, they burst onto the scene, burst out of the gates, and looked phenomenal for 2-3 weeks, had no defense, and then that defense got worse. The offense started to bite down a little bit, and that was a bad finish to the season for Dion, Coach Prime, and the Buffs. And then you got Northern Iowa, should be a win. That program is far from their peak right now. Illinois, also a team far from their peak. That's a home game, primetime game in Lincoln, tough place to play. At Purdue, home to Rutgers, at Indiana, it's not murderer's row through 7 weeks. So yes, I'm buying the Huskers as winning 5 of those first 7, maybe 6 of those first 7. Do I think they clean slate, sweep them all 7-0? No, I don't. I think something has to go wrong. After all, I'm not predicting the Huskers to be a CFP participant. I'm absolutely going bowling for the Huskers this year, but that early schedule is so darn favorable. I don't want to say easy, but so darn favorable for Nebraska. But then you got the final 5 of the season where it's going to be really, really tough because you got Ohio State on the road. That'll be a loss. I'm sorry to tell you that in October the 26th on the road. They got UCLA at home the following week. Maybe an easy rebound game. We'll wait and see. At USC the week following, tough game. Home to Wisconsin the week following, a team they haven't beaten in a decade. Tough game at Iowa in the regular season finale. It could be a 7-0 start and a 7-5 finish, people. It's going to be a wild season down in Lincoln. I can't wait to talk more about the Huskers. Special thanks to Sean Callahan of Husker Online for joining us. Find him on Twitter at Sean_Callahan. Coming up next, the latest from the NBA. Bronny James introduced. The Magic are the team making moves as of the last 10, 12 hours across the league. We dissect it all coming up next on Overtime.
Man. Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
I've already got people yelling at me about Nebraska not being 7-0, not 6-1, not 5-2. I had a coworker come in and say, "Are you crazy? I'll give you $100 if they're 7-0. By the way, to set the record straight, I did not say 7-0. I said 5-2, 6-1, or well thought of at that time. I think their schedule is so darn favorable, but I'm already getting yelled at. I'm not a typical Husker backer, but this year I feel good about the team. 5 wins, 6 wins through the first 7 seems pretty logical because the rest of that schedule pretty darn tough for Nebraska. So you're welcome, fans down there that drink that red beer and drink the Kool-Aid every single offseason. Somehow, some way, I'm backing the Huskers this year as a bowl team. And somewhere in the area, 6, 7, 8 wins feels like a good number for Nebraska this season. That's the latest on that for now. Let's talk about the NBA. First things first, Kemba Walker has called it a career champion at UConn and a 4-time All-Star in the NBA. Announced his retirement on social media yesterday, saying, "I know I couldn't have made it to this point without my incredible support system around me. There are so many people to thank. My mom, my dad, my entire family, my teammates who have become my family, and the coaches who believed in me and brought out the very best in myself." Walker, 34 years old, was taken number 9 overall by the then Charlotte Bobcats. How long ago does that feel? In the 2011 NBA draft, after leading UConn to a national championship that spring, Walker improved steadily in Charlotte before breaking out as an All-Star in 2016-2017, was an All-Star again in each of the next 2 years, with his best season coming 2018-2019 when he averaged a career-best 25.6 points per game and was named to the NBA All-NBA third team. Walker remains the Hornets' all-time franchise leader in points. Definitely underrated. Is he an all-time great? Absolutely not. Certainly notable, but Kemba Walker hanging it up at the age of 34. We got news from the NBA breaking right now. Bronny James has quickly inked his deal, agreeing to a 4-year, $7.9 million contract with the Lakers today. A league source told ESPN, reaching the deal on the same day that his dad, LeBron James, agreed to an extension with the team and assured the first father-son duo in NBA history will play for the purple and gold next year. Bronny James's rookie deal begins at $1.1 million for this year and progresses up to $1.9 million the following year, $2.2, $2.5, you get it, on to 2027-2028. The 19-year-old guard averaged 4.8 points last year during limited minutes at USC after undergoing a heart procedure last summer. Bronny James officially a member of the LA Lakers, and the Lakers are hiring Nate McMillan and Scott Brooks as top assistants on J.J. Redick's new staff. This was also announced moments ago. Redick gets 2 longtime coaches for his staff who have a combined 31 seasons of head coaching experience between them. McMillan, 59 years old, was let go by the Hawks in February. He replaced Lloyd Pierce as the interim coach for the Hawks back in 2021, went 99-80. With the Hawks over his tenure there. As for Brooks, he'd been serving as an assistant with the Trailblazers on Chauncey Billups' staff, and he served as the head coach last with the Washington Wizards. He spent 5 seasons there, 2016-2021. When you got the news that J.J. Redick was in the running to be a head coach in the NBA, never coached in the NBA, never coached pro basketball, certainly a ton of experience, a ton of acumen, a ton of knowledge, that is not up for debate. Certainly has the chops, just doesn't have the experience. But the one thing that you heard and you thought from the Lakers' perspective or the Hornets or whoever might go after J.J. Redick is, get the guy, cool potential, surround him with experienced coaches. And that's exactly what the Lakers do. So kudos there. They make their first 2 hires as top assistants, Nate McMillan and Scott Brooks, as of today. The Orlando Magic are active. Forward Jonathan Isaac has agreed on a 5-year, $84 million contract renegotiation and extension with the team. And that's according to Woj. Yesterday, Orlando negotiated the $17.4 million that Isaac had in his contract for the upcoming season. According to ESPN's Bobby Marks, the contract will decrease in the following years, and he's the 12th player since 2006 to have a contract renegotiated and extended. Isaac was a key player off the bench for Orlando this past season, averaged over 6 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 block per game, and Orlando made their first playoff appearance since back in 2020. Also for Orlando, Mo Wagner has decided to remain with Orlando, agreeing to a 2-year, $22 million deal yesterday. That's also according to the ever-busy ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski. Wagner, a brother of Magic star Franz Wagner, averaged 10.9 points and 4.3 rebounds while shooting 60% for the field for Orlando last season. Wagner, who's 27, was selected with the 25th pick back in 2018. And lastly, the Minnesota Timberwolves are not adding but a subtraction for the first time this year of a notable player. The Golden State Warriors are landing free agent forward Kyle Anderson on a 3-year deal worth $27 million. The Warriors are executing a sign and trade with the Timberwolves, acquiring Anderson for a future second round pick swap and cash. According to sources, the Warriors are using a traded player's exception created by the Klay Thompson departure to bring on Anderson. The 30-year-old spent the past two seasons in Minnesota, averaged 6 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds last year. Versatile forward with significant playmaking ability, according to ESPN.com. That is the latest and the greatest from the NBA. Certainly a lot to get to. And Bronny James, the hot button topic. Did he earn a roster spot? Blah, 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 blah. We're going to have to wait and see. He signed his deal. He's in the NBA. We'll see what kind of player he is before too long. Certainly can't judge him outright as a rookie. Maybe not even in his second year, but we will simply wait and see. Now, for those of you out there that are looking to have some fun tomorrow for the 4th of July, I still have two fireworks certificates here, $25 to Pyroholic Fireworks Warehouse, I-29 T Fireworks Exit. You know where it is. Head south on I-29. You can't miss it down there. Pyroholic Fireworks Warehouse. If you would like one of these certificates, you got to wait to the end of next segment because we're having some fun next. I am labeling NFL teams as fireworks coming up in 2024. Who's the whirling dervish? Who's the bottle rocket? Who's the snake? Who's the popper? You get the point. We'll dive into everything fireworks and the NFL coming up next on Overtime.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Wednesday, July 3rd edition of Overtime. It's our last show of the week. Thanks for tuning us in. As always, long holiday weekend for us. Hope everybody has a safe, happy, healthy, and fun fireworks-filled 4th of July weekend. We're back on the air on Monday, 11 to 1. As always, if you miss any of the show, podcast links are easy to find, ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls app. I was looking for exact win totals. Haven't hammered those down just yet from DraftKings Sportsbook. But again, latest Super Bowl odds here as we're talking some football and labeling NFL teams as fireworks ahead of the 2024 season. Chiefs are your Super Bowl favorite, plus 550. Niners second plus 600, followed by the Ravens, the Lions, the Bills, the Bengals, the Texans, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Green Bay Packers with the 10th best odds to hoist Lombardi's trophy coming up at the end of the season. Let's do it, though. We're going to have some fun fireworks for the 4th of July. What fireworks match what team here in 2024? First things first. We're starting with the things that don't leave the ground. And you can get where I'm going here, that these teams aren't going anywhere fast. How about a snake firework out there for all you enthusiasts? This is easy. for the kids to watch. It's painful for adults to watch. It's not exciting. It's not dangerous. Fun to watch grow. Certainly not going anywhere fast. The New England Patriots are your snake firework of the 2024 NFL season. How about sparklers, your crowd pleaser? Better in the background of social gatherings. Used at weddings more than the 4th of July. Don't step on these barefooted. The LA Chargers, a little prickly this year, not crazy exciting. They'll be better in most facets of the game. Still not going to the dance this year. The LA Chargers are your sparkler fireworks for 2024. Moving on, smoke bomb fireworks, the worst of the worst. They're smelly. They don't pop. There's no noise and very little fun. Big disturbance to the neighbors, big disturbance to the division, and a disgrace to the National Football League. The Carolina Panthers are the easy smoke bomb of the NFL season in 2024. My family called these a whirling dervish. You can call them whatever you want to. The things that you light up and they move around on the ground, around in circles, all sorts of different colors, cool stuff. And they're bright and shiny and fun. And best of all, a little bit unpredictable, might pop off the ground every now and then. I think these two teams are going to soar into the playoffs, but certainly unpredictable. The Texans in year two and the Buffalo Bills losing some pieces. We'll see if they're back. They're my whirling dervish teams for 2024. Roman candle team, dangerous. Won't fly high, but they'll certainly shine at times. The Philadelphia Eagles. It's not something you shoot up into the air. Typically, not endorsing this. High school kids get into trouble having Roman candle fights. Certainly not fun there. Do not do that. But the Eagles are the Roman candle of the 2024 season. As for your poppers, these are the things you give your very young kids. Their first fireworks. You throw them at the ground and they snap, crackle, and pop. Boom, boom, boom. First timer. A little pop, but nothing else this year. Washington Commanders. I'm not buying that team as anything very exciting, but certainly a fun team to hand off to your youngsters to follow along. Now for your mortar. This thing has some serious bang, but I will caution, it needs guidance to get off the ground. You got to have the mortar tube and can deliver the boom if it is not tipped over. The Green Bay Packers certainly have a little bit of guiding to do. Young team, exciting team, but they could certainly deliver a punch this year. They are my mortar for the upcoming season. Other popular fireworks in the NFL teams, M80s, these little things you light and you throw. They can survive in different conditions. They are a timeless classic year in and year out. They're not the best firework, but they're always sold and always popular. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. That one is way, way too easy. The Steelers are the M80 of the season. Black Cat Fireworks. You're going to love this one if you're a fan of the Minnesota Vikings. They're fun. They're affordable. They're a crowd pleaser. They're loud. They're annoying. They make some pizzazz. They got some weapons. That's the Minnesota Vikings for me. They're not leaving the ground this year. Absolutely not. That's no reference to the run game or the pass game. They're not going to the playoffs, and Vikings fans out there should be perfectly fine that they're not. Black Cats are the Minnesota Vikings. Other ones, Bottle Rocket. They fly up. They pop. There's no substance to this team, but they're fun. They're fun for the youngsters. A lot of young fans will follow this team in 2024 and hope that they can turn into something bigger, brighter, better, faster, stronger in the future. That's the Chicago Bears for me. They're a bottle rocket this year. Probably deserve a little bit more boom than that, but that's what I've got for bottle rockets. Another similar firework out there for the youngsters, screamers. This team is incredibly annoying. They're loud. The parents say, "Will you light something else? Go over there. Leave me alone. That's so annoying. Don't do that again." And you come back and go snatch another and light it up anyway. The annoying team that people are talking about this year that might not end up being anything at all, and the parents are saying, "Write that team off. They're not good. They got that guy at quarterback." The Atlanta Falcons are your screamer this year, no doubt about it. Last four here, all sorts of different ones. Oh, last five, rather. Your Willow Firework. This is the one that goes up into the sky. I had to look these up. I don't know what they're called. They go up into the sky. You're at a pro fireworks display, and it pops, and it's beautiful. Looks like a big white willow tree, and it transcends down, and it stays up in the sky. You can see it forever. It is a beautiful squad. they don't have a whole lot of bang, but they certainly look the part. That is the Dallas Cowboys every year. The oohs and the ahs. Look at that offense. Oh, the defense. Oh, my gosh. What are we doing in the playoffs? That's the Cowboys and the Willow Firework. The Big Boom Firework might not be the prettiest. These are the ones pro fireworks you go to. They hop up there and they got that little white gold boom. Big, powerful punch every single time. That's the Detroit Lions this year. Not the prettiest. They're gritty. They bite off kneecaps. They punch you in the mouth. They get down. They get back up. The Detroit Lions are your big boomers this year. Your novelty fireworks, the ones that are designed to look like a heart, look like your favorite team, red, white, and blue, whatever it might be, the oohs and the ahs, bringing it in. Your novelty fireworks this year are the New York Jets. They might be talked about at the end of the fireworks show after all, but they also might be a dud. It might be people saying, oh, that one isn't what it's supposed to be. What the heck is that? That's the New York Jets. They're your novelty fireworks in 2024. Elsewhere, last two, your drone fireworks. They're fake. They're not exciting, but they're new school. They're working on reinventing themselves, and they're certainly not going to start a fire. The Baltimore Ravens, prove it to me this year that you're a real team and a real firework. They're a drone firework for now. And easy peasy lemon squeezy, no doubt about it. Your grand finale, your cake fireworks, the boom, 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 boom. Dynastic team, the Kansas City Chiefs. I hate to say it, but they are the grand finale more years than not. Those are your NFL teams as fireworks here in 2024. You want to get your hands on some fireworks? Now is the time to dial me up. 605-362-3776. I got fireworks certificates to Pyroholic Firework Warehouse. $25. Are you late to the game? I can hook you up. You got to be able to use this today. Our offices are closed tomorrow. I'll put it at the front desk. You come get it now or within the next 5 hours. We close at 5. 605-362-3776. The number to call. I will take caller one and caller two, first come, first serve for these fireworks certificate. Pyroholic Fireworks Warehouse, I-29T Fireworks Exit. We take the break. I'm out of breath. I need a drink of water. Headlines, highlights, and more coming up next on the show. Fireworks giveaway right now, 605-362-3776.